All right, just a show of hands. Who here is chaff and who here is wheat? All right. No, that's a false thing. There is no one here who's chaff, and there's no one here who's wheat. There's no one in this world who is chaff, who God is just waiting until the very end with matches, waiting to burn up the chaff, and there's no one in this world who is wheat. Can we just start there? Is that all right? I want to start there. Because if we don't start there, suddenly we have made us wheat, and those who aren't us, chaff, and we can do anything we want with chaff, can't we? So let's not do that. We are wondering about living a simple life and what we can do to nurture simplicity in our hearts. And the wonder I have this morning is about our message, what we're getting across to other people as followers of Christ, as Christians, or even if we dare, what is God's message for this world? Because I think if we can simplify that and maybe cut off some of the things that that have attached themselves to our message, we might be able to get to something quite simple and quite beautiful. So I'd like to tiptoe through these three readings we heard this morning and wonder what the simple message that we have is, what the simple message of God is for us, okay? The first reading, this wonderful reading from Isaiah 11. It's inspired so much art, some good art, some not terribly good art, but the lion and the lamb lying down with each other. Who's seen a really good piece of art with the lion and the lamb lying down together? Who's seen some really terrible art with some lions and lambs? Right. Because there were more hands up on the second question, it is our responsibility as artists to start making better art on lions and lambs, okay? So you take that. You who are artists, let's get those lions and lambs looking beautiful. This fascinating reading that comes to us from Isaiah comes at a time when, hi Nathan, when God's people are wondering if there's a future for them. And they're wondering if there's a future for them because they are in the process of being invaded by an enemy. So they're not just wondering if they have a future, like, I'm wondering if I have lunch in a couple hours. They're wondering if they're going to live in a couple hours. And if even their whole culture is going to be gone in a couple hours. If their family and their ancestry and all those things that they hold dear is going to be gone in a couple hours. And the prophet Isaiah stands up and says, yes, I know this is really a difficult time, but I want to tell you that God still has a good future. It might seem that there's no future, but God still has a good future. It might look like all our enemies and even God's self has chopped us down like a tree, and all that's left is this stump, this dead, good-for-nothing stump, which is a sign that we have been abandoned, that we have no life, that God is not with us anymore. And then listen to what the prophet says. A shoot shall come out of the stock of Jesse. A shoot, a little plant, is going to grow out of this thing that should be dead. This thing that's kind of like the chaff that you would disregard and throw away, but life is even going to come out of that. Amazing. Fascinating. And why is the prophet so sure of this? How dare he have such hope? Well, the reason why this prophet has such hope is this prophet has been raised on those ancient Hebrew scripture texts that talk about God being the creator. God is the creator. God builds up. God plants. God nourishes. God ensures that there is life. God is a God of life. And even though all we might see right now is a forest that has been chopped down and just a bunch of stumps, even still, God is a God of life, and a shoot shall come up out of the stock of Jesse. I think if we are to simplify our message, or God's message, I think, first of all, we have to believe that God is a God of life. God is life. God is creation, but even more so, God is recreation. I wonder if you know somebody. Do you know somebody whose life is just a bunch of stumps? A forest that has been decimated? Do you know someone whose life is like a pile of chaff that seems to have no purpose or energy or hope? Your message to them is God's message to them, that God is a God of life. A shoot shall arise from the stock of Jesse. So let's move to Romans. When I read scripture, one of the practices I like doing is seeing what words repeat, because I think if an author has spent some ink and some paper on words that have repeated, it might be important to them. And there is a word that repeats three times in this passage that we hear from Romans. Let's see if you can discover it. For what has been written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scripture we might have hope. The root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles, and him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I lied, it's four times. Which one is it? Hope. Hope. So what is the context of this Romans passage? The context of this Romans passage is Paul has a message that Christ is for Jewish people and Christ is for non-Jewish people. Now the people who have been raised in the culture and the history and the religion of Judaism have heard the words of God being creator since they were born. They take for granted that God is a God of life. Of course, that's what we read in Scripture. That's what the prophets said. And yet, Paul says, you know that, but there are some people who don't know that. There are some people who need that hope, who need to have the message that God is life and God is creator and recreator. And Romans is all about bringing these two communities together, the community that knew and the community that didn't know, and to bring them into one great family of everyone who knows equally everything. And what Paul does in this letter is he reminds the people who were already in the know about the hope that they once had and said, wouldn't it be great if you shared that hope with people who didn't have hope? God is the God of hope and is the hope for those who do not know that God is creator and God is life. So you people who are in the know, here is the simple message for you to tell the people who aren't in the know. Hope. There is a future. There is something beyond the stump. There is something even within the chaff that we may not have recognized. Those things which we might disregard because they seem to be hopeless, we don't disregard them because actually in them we can find hope, because a shoot shall grow out of the stock of Jesse. The first simple message we have as followers of Christ is that God is life. And the second one, based upon God being life, is that we have hope. There is a great future that God wants us to be part of. And then we come to the great simple message of John the Baptist, which should inspire our hearts and make us good all fuzzy and warm. Repent! Because here's the third simple message. Repent. Ugh. Who has seen some great art on this word repentance? Who has seen some horrible art, maybe even some music, on this word repentance? Yeah. Repentance comes with a lot of baggage. And I imagine there are a number of people even in this community who are in this community because they've spent so many years repenting that their knees are sore. And they don't know if they have anything else to repent. And yet here we are again, and I'm sorry, but John the Baptist has said repent. So let's tease that out a bit. Because I don't think John the Baptist is pointing a finger like that at you. I don't think John the Baptist is pointing the finger at the Pharisees and the Sadducees, though it kind of sounds like he is a little bit. Brood of vipers, that might be a finger point. But I think what John the Baptist is pointing his finger to, and you see this in great art, John the Baptist is always pointing to Jesus. Or if I can say it this way, John the Baptist is pointing to the great message of the past, the prophets and Moses. God is life, and a shoot shall grow out of the stump of Jesse. John the Baptist wants to snap his fingers so that we pay attention, and we who are in the midst of a decimated forest in our lives that seem to have hopelessness in our lives, maybe even due to some of our own behaviors, but maybe due to someone else's behaviors, maybe out of no fault of our own, but life seems to be terrible. John the Baptist is pointing his finger to the message that God is life, and that there is hope. And the only reason why it's possible to repent, to change our ways, is because that message of repentance stands on the great foundation of God being a God of life and God being a God of hope. What good would it be if we were to repent if God was the God of death and destruction and the end days, and God was saying that you are evil sinners? What would be the point of repentance? Who cares? God has it all figured out anyway. But that's not the message. God is the God of life. God is the God of hope. And so because of that, change, repentance, change is possible. It is possible for chaff even to become fertilizer for new life. It is possible that those things that we disregard and hate and think that God hates to become the place of healing for our own selves. One of the desert fathers, a collection of people who lived in the desert 1,500 years ago, and people came to them from all over the world to learn from them and to study with them, because they, in their very lives, just grew in wisdom. And one of the desert fathers said, and they used a lot of language around demons and angels, because that's the language of their time, but they said, be careful when you cast out your demons that you don't kill your angels too. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Be careful when you cast out your demons. That's a good thing, right? Shouldn't we just cast out demons? Aren't they bad? They should be out of the room. Be careful when you cast out demons in case you kill your angels too. What this means is sometimes we get so busy and so focused on changing our behaviors, on changing our lives, on trying to be better and better and better and good and holy and saints and saints and saints, that we forget that those very things that cause us to stumble or cause us to distract us from God, those sometimes are the very things we need to pay attention to. Here's an example. I came out of the closet as a gay person probably 20 years ago. And when I came out of the closet, I was very scared because I thought God hated me. I didn't remember that God was life and God was hope. I thought God hated me and had created me to be punished. Isn't that terrible? That's just how I thought. And there are other people who feel that way about about me, but about themselves especially. And for a long time, I prayed that God would take this devil away from me. I don't need it. Be gone, devil. God did not take this devil away from me. Before, or while I was praying for this devil to be taken away from me, I was also praying for the devils to be taken out of other people. I was focused on what was wrong with people. After, when God didn't take this devil away from me, God kind of transformed it into an angel, if I can say it that way, in that those people who I condemned along with myself, whether it was being gay or just being whatever it was in their life, I now had deep compassion for. A lot of energy to love and to hold them and to ensure that they knew out from beyond a shadow of a doubt that they were loved and God's very beloved children. That thing that I thought was a devil that I wanted out of me became the source of compassion and hope for me and for many others. Be careful you don't kill your devils. Cast out your demons unless you kill your angels too. I don't like to think about this, but what kind of judgmental, awful person would I be if I never came out of the closet? Some of us have really big tempers. That it just seems like one thing will set us off, right? Yes, yes, let's focus on temper and anger, but that passion that anger can be, that can be used for good. Some of us have issues around not getting things done, procrastination. Okay, yes, let's work on that. Let's get things done. Let's not just sit down and pass our time away with a glass of wine, though that's fine and good and fun. Let's get things done. However, procrastination is also a very interesting energy of let's just wait. Let's just hold on. And we need people to tell us to wait and to hold on. Sometimes the very thing that we think is the most evil, awful part of our lives is the very thing that God is using to bring life. Sometimes that thing that is like chaff that we think needs to be thrown away and burned with unquenchable fire is that very thing that will bring life and hope to this world. So repent, because when you change from hating yourself to loving yourself, when you change from hating someone else to loving someone else, then there is hope and then there is life through Jesus Christ, our friend and our helper. Amen.